Welcome to Southern Living Magazine on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer broadcaster, and I'm reading from the Southern Living Magazine, the August 2026 edition, and I've got some great articles lined up, so if you're ready, let's get going. I'm going to start at the section entitled Life at Sun Living, Nothing Like a Sun Drop. This was written by Sid Evans, the editor-in-chief of the magazine. A tribute to the southern food products we love. One of the signature habits of my late father-in-law, Patrick Moulton, known to our kids as Poppy, was that he drank two or three sun-drop sodas every day, also called Golden Girl Cola. This highly caffeinated, citrusy drink was created in Missouri back in 1949 and soon developed a cult following all over the South. Poppy's fridge was always full of them, the green cans with the bright yellow and red logo, and he constantly seemed to be running to Kroger to get more. He would sometimes open a new one before he even finished the can he was drinking, as if he were chain-smoking cigarettes. This wasn't just a strange craving that he developed as an adult. His father, Howard Moulton, worked for the Orange Crush Bottling Company, where they made Sun Drop, Grapette, Orange Crush, and Frosty Root Beer, and Pat, as I called him, had a summer job helping with supermarket deliveries. My wife liked to tease him about this quasi-addiction and remind him of the ungodly amounts of caffeine and sugar in every can, but that never slowed him down. For Poppy, there was something about a sun drop that made him happy. It reminded him of where he came from, and it just didn't taste like anything else. I'm more of a Cheerwine or Dr. Pepper fan myself, but I understand where Pat was coming from. I have a reflexive need for Tabasco sauce that has stayed with me for several decades. My father covered his eggs with it, and he was always shaking it into Bloody Marys, oysters, jambalaya, gumbo, or anything that needed a little extra heat. My mother likes it even more, often adding it to fried fish or a cup of soup before she's taken a bite. And I've picked up the Evans tradition. When I got the chance to tour the Tabasco headquarters on Avery Island, Louisiana, a couple of years ago, I felt like Charlie in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Every bottle that's shipped to 195 countries is made there, and I marveled at the hundreds of white oak barrels full of pepper mash, a combination of salt, vinegar, and chilies, stacked to the rafters in their warehouse. My father had always talked about visiting, and he would have loved the live oaks on the property, the egrets that nest in the salt ponds, and getting a taste of the mash, which has about 10 times the potency of the sauce sold on store shelves. Now, every time I put a dash of Tabasco on my eggs, I think of Dad. There are a lot of great food and drink brands that grew up in the South, and you probably have some that have become part of your life. Based on many of your suggestions, we decided to round up 50 of the best for the Southern Food Hall of Fame that I will be reading to you next week. Sun Drop and Tabasco are both on there, and so are 48 more that have quietly become ingrained in our culture. They may not all be good for you, but they're all worth celebrating. End of story. This was written by Sid Evans, editor-in-chief, and you can reach him at sid@southernliving.com. And again, I will be reading this list next week, so get ready. Introducing, though, Southern Living Insiders. If you're a serious fan of Southern Living, this membership is for you. We've been hard at work on something very exciting, a new membership that brings together everything you love about Southern Living in one place. Southern Living Insiders includes a limited edition Southern Living Annual Recipes Cookbook with 32 extra pages of recipes, access to a new recipe vault featuring hundreds of vintage dishes never before published online, exclusive offers from Southern-inspired brands, discounts to ticketed Southern Living events, a special issue of the magazine for insiders only, and a weekly newsletter with behind-the-scenes previews and tips from our staff. To get a first look, you can scan the code below of the magazine. I can't give that to you. Or you can go to southernliving.com/insiders to get that information. End of story. In-season section, a life-changing tomato, one of the most popular garden heirlooms, helped its creator pay off his home, one seedling at a time. This was written by Alana Al-Hatlani. The mortgage lifter tomato is more than just a cute name. Believed to have been developed in the 1930s by Marshall Cletus Biles, also known as Radiator Charlie, of Logan, West Virginia, it's a cross between multiple types of this veggie. A mortgage lifter is extra large, juicy, and sweet, but it received the moniker because Radiator Charlie sold his seedlings for $1 a pop, a lot of money in those days, earning enough to cover his mortgage. I didn't pay but $6,000 for my home and paid most of it off with tomato plants, he said in a recorded conversation with his grandson, Ed Martin. But Radiator Charlie wasn't the only grower to give a plant this title. There are other tomatoes called mortgage lifters, such as William Estler's heirloom from Barbersville, West Virginia. He even trademarked the name, but that lapsed in the 1970s. Although Estler's family still claims he developed his tomato first, most mortgage lifters you'll see in seed catalogs today are Radiator Charlie's version. But no matter which kind you find, all good Southern maters deserve to be sliced thick and enjoyed on white bread. So we've created three new ways to dress them up in sandwiches this summer, and I've got the recipes. New School Tomato Sandwiches is the name. Active time, 10 minutes. Total time, 10 minutes. It serves four. You'll need 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese softened, 1/4 cup mayonnaise, 1/4 cup chopped fresh chives, 1/4 cup chopped fresh dill, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh basil, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt plus more to taste, 1/2 teaspoon black pepper plus more to taste, 8 1-ounce white bread slices. Insider suggestion here. Toasting the bread is optional, but having a bit of crispness on the inside makes this sandwich sturdier. There you go. 1 large 12-ounce heirloom tomato cut into 4 1/2-inch thick slices. Here are the directions. Stir together cream cheese, mayonnaise, chives, dill, basil, salt, and pepper in a small bowl until combined. Spread 2 tablespoons cream cheese mixture even over one side of each bread slice. If toasted, spread the mixture on the toasted side. Next, place 1 tomato slice each on cream cheese side of 4 bread slices. Sprinkle with more salt and pepper to taste. Top with remaining bread slices, cream cheese side down. Cut in half and serve. There you go. I have 2 more to try, and you'll just adjust this main recipe. The first one is bacon jam tomato sandwiches. In step 1, omit the mayonnaise, dill, and basil. Add 3 tablespoons bacon jam and 2 tablespoons chopped fresh parsley to cream cheese mixture. Proceed with recipe as directed. I don't know what bacon jam is. Sorry. So if anybody does know, let me know. I'd appreciate it. The other variation of this recipe is a pepper jelly tomato sandwich. The first step, omit mayonnaise, chives, and dill. Add 3 tablespoons pepper jelly to cream cheese mixture and proceed with the recipe as directed. So now you've got 3 variations to try. Good luck. Next is an article from All Set, and the title is Garden Party. Plan your next gathering around summer's most beautiful blooms. And this is written by Cameron Beal. Bring on the sunshine, black-eyed Susans plus sunflowers. Mellow yellow, not here. Sunflowers, Black-Eyed Susans, and Lucifer Cocosima cuttings warmly welcome friends to the table, while potted herbs and a display of juicy tomatoes channel the freshness of your local farmer's market. Indulge a little sweetness with eyelet napkins and call on wooden flatware and rattan napkin rings to keep things light. So, shop the look. HTH X Domino Wide Stripe Lemon and Sand Tablecloth from $218. You can get that at Heather Tay, HEATHERTAY, Lorhome, LORHOME.com, all one word. Rattan napkin ring holders, $24 for a set of four. You can get that through Dillards.com for similar. Richmond Collection dinner plates in white, $48 for a set of four. Again, Dillards.com. Arezzo yellow salad plate, $72. Vietri, Vietri.com. Drop stemless wine glass in white, $76. Also at Vietri, Vietri.com. And Albero five-piece place setting, $134 at Vietri.com. Next is Get Cozy with Corals, Zinnias plus Lantanas. Invite colorful dinnertime conversation over a brilliant medley of pink and orange zinnia and lantana blooms, feverfew, gomphrena, and, quote, frosted explosion, end quote, grass. If the flowers don't get your guests talking, the ICAT tablecloth and hand-painted plates are sure to do the trick. Tie satin ribbons around the napkins and flatware for a relaxed dose of whimsy. Shop that look. Peter Dunham plus Hudson Grace pink fez stripe printed napkin, $32. Hudson Grace SF. .com, that's spelled HUDSONGRACESF.com. Peter Dunham plus Hudson Grace orange Bukhara ICAT printed tablecloth, $198. Again, HudsonGraceSF.com. Aaron X. Williams Sonoma braided woven charger, $30. Williams-Sonoma.com. Casa Nuno pink and white dinner plate with three flowers / vines, $134 for a set of two. At Abigail's Net, Abigails.net. And a 20-piece bamboo flatware set, $150. Dillards.com for similar. Keep It Classic hydrangeas plus Queen Anne's lace. Plucked from the backyard or scooped up at the grocery store, hydrangeas are a crowd pleaser, especially when mixed with Queen Anne's lace, blue tweedia, and solidago. Plop the stems in bud vases and then corral those in a rattan tray for a centerpiece that's easy to pull apart and send home with friends at the end of the meal. Echo the blossoms' blues and greens in the linens and layer in mother-of-pearl napkin rings for unexpected shine. End of story, and happy decorating. Here's a new article. Savannah's Golden Age Returns. Nestled in a historic townhouse, the Douglas has old world charm, and this is written by Cameron Beale. In the heart of Savannah's historic district, the Douglas was thoughtfully updated by a team of Lowcountry preservationists, Reggie Gibson Architects, Glenn Keyes Architects, and designer Kirby Caldwell, to honor the structure's 1853 bones while creating spaces that encourage lingering. We really wanted to have it feel like someone's impeccably designed home that you are invited into, with furniture and lighting that have been collected over hundreds of years, says Caldwell. But it also needed to be pared back and calming with lots of texture and warmth. Marrying furnishings and art from the 1930s, a nod to the building's history as the Lester Boarding House, with saturated colors, soft linens, silky mohair, and caned furniture, she fashioned a laid-back opulence that feels in tune with Savannah's golden era. When you step through the grand front door, a sunlit and sage-drenched living room with plush seating immediately conveys a sense of ease. In the adjacent bar and breakfast space, a zinc counter, velvet stools, and banquettes with bistro tables yield a cozy setting that seems more like you're gathering around a kitchen island than a hotel bar. Original heart pine floors, transom windows, and sculptural moldings anchor the architecture while playful tones soften each room. Antique and vintage pieces layered throughout reinforce a distinctive sense of hospitality. These one-of-a-kind touches extend to the 16 guest rooms, which are each uniquely designed to balance comfort with quiet luxury. It's like the way you want your house to feel, says Caldwell. Next door, the property's latest addition introduces four more suites, plus Lester's, an intimate French-inspired restaurant that extends the hotel's neighborly sense of welcome to the public. End of story. You are listening to Sun Living Magazine on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer broadcast. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Fresh Picked. Peachapalooza. I cannot wait. This is a dessert for fans of the South's most famous fruit, and it's written by Alana Al-Hatlani. The name of the recipe is Peach Melba Spoon Cake. Active time, 25 minutes. Total time, 1 hour, 15 minutes. This serves 6. The ingredients needed are 2 cups fresh peeled peach slices from 3 peaches, 1 cup fresh raspberries, 1 teaspoon grated lemon zest plus 2 tablespoons fresh juice from 1 lemon, 1/2 cup plus 2 tablespoons granulated sugar divided, 1/2 cup unsalted butter, 1 cup all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons plain yellow cornmeal, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 a teaspoon of kosher salt, 1 large egg, 1/4 cup whole milk, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, and vanilla ice cream. So here are the steps. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Stir together the peeled peach slices, raspberries, lemon zest, and juice, and 2 tablespoons sugar in a medium bowl until combined. Set that aside. Add butter to a 10-inch cast iron skillet, placed in oven until melted and started to brown, about 12 minutes. Meanwhile, whisk together flour, cornmeal, baking powder, salt, and remaining 1/2 cup sugar in a large bowl until combined. Create a well in the center of the dry ingredients. Add egg, milk, and vanilla. Stir until almost fully combined. Pour hot butter into the batter. Stir gently until combined. And transfer the batter to the same skillet, top with fruit mixture, including any juices. Bake until golden brown, 30 to 35 minutes, and let cool 5 minutes before serving with ice cream. Holy cow is all I can say. Looks so good on the picture. I will be making this one soon. Special delivery in addition to this article. Skip the market. Get peaches shipped right to your door. 3 companies are listed. The first one, Lane Southern Orchards in Fort Valley, Georgia. Started in 1908, this 11,000-acre operation grows 2 Georgia staples, pecans and peaches. They also offer house-made preserves, breads, and syrups. You can find them online at Lane L-A-N-E, Southern, S-O-U-T-H-E-R-N, Orchards, O-R-C-H-A-R-D-S.com. The next one is McLeod Farms in McBee, M-C-B-E-E, South Carolina. Although you can order online, visiting their market to hand pick your own is a worthwhile addition to a summer road trip. The website for this company, M-A-C-S-P-R-I-D-E, maxpride.com. The third option is the Peach Truck, Nashville, Tennessee. Their fruit is harvested at peak ripeness and delivered to your home within days, so you can enjoy it at its best. If you'd rather get some in person, check the Peach Truck's touring route to see if they'll be stopping near you. Their website is thepeachtruck.com. End of story, and happy eating. I love peaches. I think a lot of people do. And this recipe that I got is from the Rise and Shine section of the kitchen in this magazine, entitled Sweet as Can Be. From the creamy drizzle to the last crumb, these muffins are the best way to start your day. And the name of this recipe is Peaches and Cream Muffins. Active time is 30 minutes. Total time, 1 hour and 15 minutes. It makes 12 muffins. The recipe starts with the ingredients. 1 3/4 cups all-purpose flour. A teaspoon of baking soda. A teaspoon of baking powder. 1 teaspoon ground ginger. 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon ground nutmeg, 1/2 cup unsalted butter softened, 1/2 cup packed dark brown sugar, 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 2 large eggs at room temperature, 1/2 cup of sour cream at room temperature, 5 tablespoons heavy whipping cream divided, 2 1/4 teaspoons vanilla extract divided, 1 1/2 cups chopped fresh peaches from 2 peaches, and 1/2 cup unsifted powdered sugar. So here are the steps. Preheat the oven to 425 degrees. Line a 12-cup muffin tray with paper liners. Whisk together flour, baking soda, baking powder, ginger, salt, and nutmeg in a medium bowl and set aside. Beat together softened butter, brown sugar, and granulated sugar with an electric mixer on medium speed until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. With mixer on low speed, add eggs one at a time, beating until just combined after each addition. Beat in sour cream, 2 tablespoons cream, and 2 teaspoons vanilla on medium speed until smooth, about a minute. With mixer on low speed, gradually add flour mixture, beating until well combined, about 1 minute. Fold in peaches until evenly distributed. Batter will be thick. Next step, divide the batter among prepared muffin wells, about 1/3 cup each. Bake 5 minutes. Without removing the muffin tray, reduce oven temperature to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and continue baking until a wooden pick inserted into the center of muffins comes out clean, about 18 minutes more. Let cool in tray on a wire rack 5 minutes. Remove muffins from the tray and let cool on a wire rack 15 more minutes. Whisk together powdered sugar, 3 tablespoons cream, and 1/4 teaspoon vanilla in a small bowl until smooth. Drizzle over the cooled muffins. Boy, that sounds like a wonderful recipe, and I know I'm going to be making this also. Our next article is entitled The Majesty of Pelicans. They may be awkward on land, but I love watching them soar. This was written by Rick Bragg. When I was a boy, I used to dream about white sand. We lived surrounded by 1,000,000 miles of red dirt, but once a year we loaded a lime green 1963 Chevrolet Biscayne with cousins, fried chicken, and beach balls, and just drove with the windows open to the world and gospel playing on the radio. We watched the North Alabama hills flatten into bottomland down around Montgomery and caught our breath when we saw a few scraps of Spanish moss. We knew we were close then. After 8 hours of blacktop and 114 bathroom breaks, we glimpsed the first scrawny palm tree on the horizon and finally a dirty patch of sand. But somehow it wasn't real, wasn't officially a vacation till we looked out over the water of Pensacola or Mobile Bay and saw that first lonely brown pelican glide serenely across the calm surface. They would soar forever like they were held up by some kind of magic that was unique to the air that they smelled and even tasted of salt. It bothered me that they dipped so low, skimming the waves, and I would shout, "Go higher, or the sharks will get you," but I guess they knew what they were doing. I could sit on the docks and jetties for hours, even forgetting to fish, just to watch those birds fly. And then, when I was thrilled half to sleep, one would beat the air with its ungangly wings to get a little altitude, then plummet into that blue or tea-colored water. I would hold my breath till it climbed again, the silver glint of a mullet showing from its long beak. But the most amazing thing was that when I encountered one on a post or rail, it seemed unconcerned with me and would turn one golden eye on my face, considering, weighing, as if trying to decide who I was and what I was worth. The birds in the foothills are good for a lot of things, but they don't look you square in the eye. Sooner or later, the pelicans would waddle away, all their grace lost on dry land. And because I was 10 or 11, that made me laugh out loud. I noticed how unattractive they were up close for an animal that seemed so elegant from a distance. As with most sights that inspire awe, in childhood it was something I grew out of in time. A few years ago, I was down at the city pier in Fairhope, Alabama, just taking a break. I drove slowly next to the water, searching for a parking spot. It was sunset. Things always got crowded around then. The only spot was already occupied by a brown pelican. He did not budge a single inch, even as I crept closer in my truck. "Move," I said through the open window, quietly. I would not want someone to hear me losing an argument with a bird. I finally found somewhere to park a quarter mile away and walked back. The pelican had gone to a perch on a rail and just sat gazing at my way, as if, even after all this time, his species still had not quite made up its mind about me. "Well," I told him, "you ain't much to look at either up close." But I stayed there for a while till he rose awkward, flapping, and a little cockeyed, and went into that lovely glide. I watched as he faded into the thick air somewhere up toward Fly Creek. It sure would be a sorry world without a little wonder. End of story. Thank you for listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona and Southern Living Magazine. This is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer broadcaster. Stay tuned for what's coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.